Picking back up here with our consideration of the headship of Christ and relationships and such, I'll read to you here from 1 Corinthians 11, the theme verse we've used for this. And 1 Corinthians 11 there in verse number 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as also as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you." And we believe and understand those ordinances in the church to be that of baptism, when someone is saved and sees in the scripture to obey Christ and follow the Lord in baptism to show to the world that what to show to the church and show to the world that Christ has saved them and they identify with Christ and that they are made a new creature in Christ and by virtue of that join the church. The other's ordinance is the Lord's Supper, and in that we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those ordinances together speak to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says in verse number 3, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And so there is an order. There is a order of responsibility that we have. Of course, God is our great God and above all and beyond all and is more capable than all of us. He's created us. I've made reference to this, and in regards to mankind, though, it's not talking about, you know, men are greater or more able in all things than women, or that women are less or lower or anything like that. When the Lord saves us, how does he refer to us? Well, the scripture bears it out. We're the sons of God. But he's made men, he's made the genders for a purpose in a way, and the place that he's made for us is the greatest place of blessing. However he's made us, he's purposed to do that for us and in us, and we need to enjoy it, okay? We need not rest against it, but we need to enjoy it. We need to understand the gravity and the serious and soberness of it, and then pursue what the Lord's given us, okay? As an example, we live in a world today where there are those that say that in their soul, I would say it, in their soul and in their mind, they're one gender, but their body got messed up and is another gender. Well, that's devilish, okay? That's wicked and sinful, because God made you who you are on purpose, not by mistake. He gave you your soul. He gave you your life. He gave you who you are, and you need to enjoy that according to his word. And we've talked about the economy of the Lord and how the blessing of the Lord is different than what we would estimate it. And the place of blessing is where the Lord has for us. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to dwell and enjoy that. And remember that the economy of the Lord is like not like men. And the reason I make reference to that, you know, the world, it gives an idea and purports and supports a doctrine that's saying that, you know, women, you got to break out of that you're entrapped in and enslaved in by men so you can go ahead and move on to be what you could be or should be. Total misunderstanding of the way the Lord's designed things and the way the Lord has made things. Now, you know, we can be accused of the Apostle Paul is accused by folks that are ignorant that he's a woman hater. He's not. We can be accused of such. I'll be honest with you, the way I've heard some brethren preach and go on about even the truth of God's word, they had the deportment and gave the representation that they hated women. But that's not the case. We don't need to be that way. And so we need to believe the truth, stand in the truth, but convey it in a good and right way that, you know, tells what the truth is. We don't have to be mad about the truth, do we? We don't have to be angered about the truth. We need to enjoy the truth. And then where the truth rubs me wrong, well, Jim Duke needs to line up with the truth, right? And so may the Lord help us in those things. We left off last time in this consideration in 1 Peter chapter 3. So I encourage you to turn there if you have your Bible. And we'll just read through this and get to this verse. And we just want to see something. We're taking a look at this relationship, the relationship of being a wife being so to her husband, okay? So we've looked at a lot of things. We've taken a look at the relationship of husbands being such to their wives. And frankly, there's more written to women about and wives to husbands. There's just more passages. There's more content. Now, it doesn't mean, fellas, that we're off the hook by any means. Okay? And I think we're going to see something here interesting as we take a look at these things this afternoon, and it's going to segue into something else that I want to address over a few messages here in the future. But it is just that case that there are more scriptures written about a wife and what she should be to her husband. And there's a reason for that. And hopefully we can bring that out. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the scripture says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not in the word," talking about the men, the husbands, "that they also without the word may be won by the conversation of the wives. A good witness to a woman, and she's married to a man, the Lord saves her." Okay, this isn't talking about a saved woman marrying a lost man. That's not what this is about. It's talking about the Lord saving a woman and her being a witness to her husband. It's talking about how it is in our marriages we're witnesses one to another. I'm a witness to Clarissa about the good things of God. She's a witness to me about the good things of God. That's that way. And there's no closer relationship on this earth than that relationship of being married. And so in the closeness of that relationship with our spouse, we can be a witness of things that others don't even know anything about to be a witness of, okay? It's that way. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear," fearing the Lord and being interested in chaste, the chastity of the use of their body and their conveying, their conversation in that. "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel." Does that mean that the scripture says don't dress up? No, it's not talking about not dressing up. It's talking about make sure that all of you is just not on the outside. Okay? What he goes on to say, right? "But let it be the hidden man of the heart." It's that way for the women, that way for the men. The hidden man of the heart. What's on the outside is going to get gray and get old and sag and get wrinkled and all that. It's going to happen, isn't it? Right? But it's a hidden man of the heart. That's what the Lord's looking at. And in marriage, that's what we need to be considering too, is the hidden man of the heart. "You that are not married, as you seek a spouse," as you would look for the Lord's will regarding a spouse, I tell you, look for the hidden man in the heart. That's who you need to be, what you need to be considering. Consider about the Spirit. Consider if they are saved or not, and if they're spiritually and doctrinally in line with what you believe and know. And then seek that of the soul. And then lastly, in marriage, seek that of the body. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price." And that's interesting here about speaking to the ladies, speaking to the wives, a meek and quiet spirit, because there's that which can be used. We see this, Madonna, okay? And most of you know who Madonna is. She's not of a meek and quiet spirit, is she? No. She's a very forward woman, very, very whorish behavior woman. I pray that none of us listen to that, but you can't help but see her in the media. But as an example, she's not of a meek and quiet spirit, is she? Indeed. And she needs to be saved, which is in the sight of God of great price, that meek and quiet spirit. "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." And that was that reference to Abraham having pleasure in her, the blessing of the Lord causing her to conceive. And she said, the quote is along the line, paraphrasing it, a paraphrased quote, that's good, isn't it? That her Lord would have pleasure in her being so old, yet being blessed to have a child. I think that's what that reference is from. "Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement or confusion or fear or anything like that." And so it says here in verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands," we've looked at this relative to the husbands, "dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Relative to the wives, ladies, you are the weaker vessel. It's just that way. But we live in a day that women want to be men, and it should not be that way. Okay? Because in all the course of time, and all the couples that have been, generally speaking, there's always exceptions, but generally speaking, it is always that way, that the wife, the woman, is the weaker vessel. We could go and take a look at the different aspects of that, but namely physically. You know, I don't want my daughters to be welders. Because that's man's work. It is. Now, if they knew how to weld, and I taught them how to weld for stuff that we would have around here, then that'd be one thing. It wouldn't bother me at all. But for them to pursue that as their work or career, it's not a place to be. The environment's bad to start with, and then it's just not. The Lord has other things in mind. The Lord has other things by design. And so, ladies, you got to remember, you are the weaker vessel. Is this an out on things? No. But just understand, the Lord looks at that meek and quiet spirit. He looks for you to understand where the Lord has made you. And not all things are for everybody. And those things that the Lord work and such as that the Lord has and that the world has for men, some of that is not appropriate for women to pursue after. It's just not to be. So the men, we need to remember that they're the weaker vessel. And ladies, you need to remember that you're the weaker vessel too. Don't pursue and try to be a man, okay? And I don't think we have anybody that way, but don't look to do that as being heirs together. And so in this reference to the wife as being the weaker vessel, that's what the Lord says. That's what the Scripture says. It says there also, I'll remind you fellas, and remind us, there is in that verse 7, it says that we need to dwell with them according to knowledge. That word knowledge is also a synonym for the word science, okay? And so when we, Brother Doug could explain to us about that this morning in the message. You know, I was thinking about him in regards to chemically, with some time research, or if he doesn't know off the top of his head, he could explain to us how that leaven works in that dough and how that propagates and what's going on there. There's some science about there. There's some specifics about that. Fellas, that's the way we need to dwell with our wives, to know and knowing about them, understanding about them. We need to learn about them. That is our other half, our wives are. And so don't take the position that's woman stuff. I don't understand anything about that. Well, don't be ignorant. Grow up and learn something then if you don't understand it, because that's your other half. You need to know about her. You need to know what's going on with her, at least so you can try to empathize with her and maybe in troubles or trials and such that she would have. So dwell with them according to knowledge, giving to honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. The Scripture says that there is this weakness, but I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 12. The Lord has offset this in a way. And I pray the Lord to help me to be able to convey this. When we can understand about what God has done and how God has created, when the Lord will open that up to us and we can see it and understand it, it will help us and it'll cause us to go wow, and it'll just blow our minds. It's the Lord makes no mistakes, and he's meticulous in everything that he does. So the Lord tells us that the wife is the weaker vessel. The Scripture says, I didn't look up this passage. Brother Ronnie, maybe you'll help me out with it. He helps me that way, and I'm glad that he does. When I refer to passages, I don't know where they're at. But it says there that Eve was beguiled. But Adam full well knew what he did. That's the reason, men, we've got what we've got. That's the reason that we're the head of the family and responsible to be the head of the family. And we can't defer anything to our wives and transfer responsibility. Now, our wife is there to help us. But we'll never be able to stand before God and say, well, I gave her that to do, and she didn't do it. No, it's our responsibility. And the reason it is because Adam stepped off into sin, listening to his wife. He hearkened to his wife, but he made the decision to hearken to her. And that's the reason we've got what we've got, fellas. But she was beguiled. The Scripture says that. And that she'll be saved in childbearing, and we've looked at some of those Scriptures. But the woman being, the wife being the weaker vessel, here in Proverbs chapter 12, let's take a look over here at verse number 4, and look what this says. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Amen. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. I use the example of Madonna. How'd you like to be married to her? Would she not be as rottenness to the bones? A man, I mean, because we're talking about the scriptural definition of marriage. And that woman takes herself and parades herself before the world. It would be a shame, wouldn't it? For a man to be married to a woman that behaves like that, it would be, if he's in his right mind at all, it would be a shame to him for her to go and pursue and behave in her career and her quote-unquote art and all that the way that she does. I mean, it would be, a man would have a hard, terrible time living with himself if he was halfway sane, wouldn't he? See, and there's an example, but that's the extreme example, but an example nonetheless. Because, see, it says here, a virtuous woman. The woman, the wife, is the weaker vessel. But in the way the Lord has made woman, she's got some virtue or some power about her. Okay? We take a look at this word virtuous in the Hebrew. Maybe this will be a surprise to you, maybe not. But in the Hebrew, if we take a look at it, it talks about virtue being a force. A synonym for it is an army. Who of us wants to stand up against an army? It'd be tough standing by yourself against an army. Okay, right? What else it says? Wealth. Valor. You know, I think this is, in my understanding of the word and what it is talking about here, it's talking about strength. Strength is a synonym for that word virtue. You know, another synonym is power. Power. If we took a powerful woman, that's in control, is a crown to her husband, isn't she? Right? But a powerful woman that is not meek and modest, maketh ashamed, is as rottenness to his bones. Interesting, huh? A force, an army, strength, power to be strong. A virtuous woman, a powerful woman. Even in the Lord making the woman as the weaker vessel, he has endued the woman with some power. And as it is, as men, we've got physical strength that we can use well or misuse. The woman has been created such that she's got some strength, some virtue, some power, some force in her femininity that she can use well or she can use in a bad way. Young people, listen. And the thing is, and I'm not saying I'm the example of it, but we need to teach our daughters about this. They need to hear this from their fathers and from their mothers, so they understand how to conduct themselves and behave themselves. Because this, it's not wrong the way the Lord has made the genders, but it does have to be directed and managed correctly, doesn't it? It does. It does. So then, in considering that, let's turn over to Proverbs 31. Superwoman, right? I've heard this passage, the lady in this passage referred to this way. Superwoman. Who can be Superwoman? You know, I've wondered about this, you know, this passage, and in consideration, praying, studying about the message and these messages and how they're going together. Why is this in the Scripture? Why is the account of this lady in the Scripture this way? Well, does that mean the men are off the hook? No. Because see, what's the example from the standpoint of being a man, fellas? What's the example that we have? Christ. Right? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the example. But then how do you take the Lord Jesus Christ and from Him, and hear me out on this, how do you take the Lord Jesus Christ and turn Him into the good example of a wife? It's kind of tough to do. He is an example, of those fruit of the Spirit that we've been looking at. He's an example of good behavior. And as the children of God, we're all to be to shape our conversation and direct our conversation and our pursuit and everything after the pattern of Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ was a man. And so I think that's the reason for this passage, to give great clarity to women also about the design and the place that the Lord's made for a woman, okay? So men, we're not off the hook. We got the greatest example there is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Word says totally about Him and all the instruction that comes to us in being a son of God, a husband, and a father. All those things are there scattered through the Scripture. But here, the Lord has provided for this last chapter in Proverbs and the biggest part of it to explain about how a woman is to, yet being the weaker vessel, use that power that He's endued the feminine gender with correctly. Okay? And so let's just take a look at this. You're familiar with it. But in verse number 10 it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, a powerful woman, a strong woman, an able woman? One that is directed right." Okay, when you use that word virtuous, it's talking about that power, that strength, that ability directed in a right way, not a wrong way. Not one that would behave as Madonna, but one that would behave as a righteous, godly woman. Okay? Who can find her? What's he say? "For her price is far above rubies." You can't put a price on her. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." Doesn't have to worry about her going out on him. Right? Doesn't have to worry about her abusing him. Doesn't have to worry about her misusing him. He can safely trust in her. He knows that she is dedicated to him. He's dedicated to her. And he can safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. It's been said, a woman in a house and a family and a home can shovel more out the back door than a man can bring in the front door. And that's true. A wife that won't do well in the operation of the home, and misunderstanding about what the place that the Lord's made for her as a wife and maybe a mother, she can wreck the finances and more of a family like that. Just like that. Okay? And so because of this power, this virtue, or this strength that she has in being a woman, she can even do it and the man be willing for it. You hear what I'm saying? Can be. He can know that the whole place is going to fall down, but yet to please her, allow it. She's got power. Use it right, use it wrong. Okay? "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, though, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She's got power and strength, and she directs it well. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." She's not sitting around on the sofa watching soap operas and eating bonbons. She's busy, isn't she? Right. She's working. She seeks out these materials, and if there's something she doesn't know how to do, she's learning how to do it. She's always pursuing what? For the benefit of herself? Well, she has a benefit for herself, but she's looking out for her household, her family. We'll see that here more. So she's busy. Young ladies, you need to find out something that you can do. You need to find work that you can do. The example here, she sought wool, she sought flax, she worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships and bringeth her food from afar. She's able to cook, she's able to plant, she's able to sow, she's able to do things. And what she doesn't know about, she learns to do. She's not afraid to ask another how to do it. And she's always taking it and using it for the benefit of her family. Maybe you can't can. Some people, some ladies can can, some people can't. Some ladies can't. Well, that's okay. But there's other things you can pursue, other things to do. I just pulled that out as an example. I've got ladies in my family, they were just always afraid of canning. They just didn't have confidence in canning. And so it did well that they just didn't. If you don't have confidence in it, it'd be just as well don't. Because you don't want to poison your family, right? But there is other things that can be pursued and done, okay? So this isn't like the end-all list of all these things got to be accomplished. What we're wanting to see here is the attitude and the way and the pursuit, always to the benefit of the home. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat unto her household and a portion to her maidens, to those that are there working in her household, those that are of her own daughters. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Yeah. Yeah, she might make even the big purchase for the sake of what the family needs. Remember? She shows a way and an attitude such that she's got this power, she has this strength, and she uses it well. Her husband trusts in her. And the thing is, understand, she's working. She's not lazing around. She's working. Working. You know, we live in a day and age where education is, you know, and we don't need to be ignorant, okay? We need to learn. Education is promoted and promoted. There's an equality. It's just if you're a human being, you should go get educated and, you know, go to college, learn something, and it's just carte blanche. That's the recommendation of the world. Well, first off, young people, you need to seek the Lord's face in what the Lord wants you to do. But as a young lady, don't ever pursue anything that puts you in a financial bind that'll strap your marriage with a load and a burden of your education that then you're forced to go out into the labor field to get that debt taken care of. You handcuff yourself and your marriage right off the bat. And so my recommendation to our daughters has been, whatever you do and pursue, do it and pursue it. And pay it off as you go, because you don't know what the Lord has for you and when. And that way you don't bring the burden of debt to a marriage. Time, there's many, many, many that'll tell you about how that is. And the woman feels obligated, the wife feels obligated to work because she made the debt for herself and her education. And so then the order of the home and the family, maybe children are put off and having children, things just get pushed on back and delayed, and they start off with possibly some trouble that way. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. My recommendation to young ladies is learn something, pursue it and do it, pay for it as you go, and make sure it's portable. What do I mean by portable? That if the man that the Lord brings into your life that he wants you to marry lives three states away, you are not trapped in a situation because of maybe that big student loan and that career that you've pursued with this job in this state, and you can't pick up and go be where he is. You see that? That's a trap that many fall into in this day and age. Even among Baptist churches, I know of young folks that are in that situation, and they're constrained. They can't follow the Lord the way the Lord says in His Word. Now, have you made mistakes in that way? Well, ask the Lord to forgive you and then pick up and move on from there. Amen? That's what it is. But from the standpoint as pastor and what the Word of God says, the young people that we have here, we need to represent the right way, don't we? Because what's the Lord want for a young lady? The Lord wants for a young lady that she, looking to Him, find the man that He has for her and a home be established that way. That's what the Lord has. And that's the best place of blessing. Can the Lord bless in other ways? Yes. Can He take things that we mess up and upright them? Yeah, He can. But start off looking to seek the Lord's will and way. Be busy. Be learning something. Make it portable. Make it to where you know how to do something and you've learned how to do this. And if the man that the Lord sends along for you lives three states away, you can just load that stuff up and go. That's the best thing. That's the best way. And there's always exceptions. You're always going to find some exceptions. But that is I believe, the instruction from the Lord. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. There's plenty there for the provision of the household. There's always light in that household. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the distaff. She's working that wool, and she's working that flax. She's busy about planning ahead, knowing what's needed, and continually learning. You know, the thing about education, a man told me this years ago when I was in my 20s, first moved out to St. Louis, and it is the truth. The thing that we need to learn, what we need to learn from education, we need to learn the ability to learn. Learn the ability to learn. And it need not be that we have you got in your life where you say, well, I've learned all I need and that's all I need to learn. Don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop learning. We always need to learn. The Lord's blessed us with this ability to learn, and we always need to learn. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She's compassionate and has the ability to be compassionate. What a tough thing that by error and mistake have a desire to help out the poor but can't because of bad decisions. There'd be a mental strait with that, wouldn't there? I mean, we can all have such a thing. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's dressing nice. She's dressing neat. She's dressing modestly. She's representing the Lord and her husband and her household well. She's got virtue. She's got power and strength, and it's under control. It's directed the right way to please God. Not in ways to follow after the way of the world and the wickedness and the licentiousness of the world. But she's taken that power. She's taken her ability. She's taken her beauty. She's taken all that the Lord's blessed her with, and she's directing that for the sake of her man and for the sake of her home. And there's a blessing in it. Her husband is known in the gates, verse 23, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. They know him because they know about her, and she's faithful. Now, he isn't sitting here in the gates of the city being a slug. Well, what's happened with this man is he is a leader in the city. He's of the leadership and the government of the city, and it's known that she's taking care of home. He's got a faithful wife. He's got a wife. She's not out running around the countryside all day long, spinning up what he earns. She's not out there tearing down what he's trying to build. But it's known he's got a faithful wife. She's faithful to him, faithful to their household. She maketh fine linen, verse 24, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She's busy. She's got her own business and work. Young ladies, find that which can be your own. You go out and work a job, as is the vernacular here, you go out and work the public job. Think about the strait that it puts you in. You got a boss that's a man, and then you've got the head of your home at home. It can put you in a strait who you're going to listen to. It can be confusion. It can be mentally, there can be confusion, answering to a man at work, answering to a man at home. It can put things in a strait. Better to have your own thing. Do what you can do. Make it portable. Make it yours. And ask for the Lord's help in it. And learn and grow in that. And make it your own. That's the place of blessing that is there. Deliver the girdles into the merchants. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. See, it's directed the right way. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She has been blessed to learn some things, to know some things, to know the Word of God, to know about things in life and in regards to family and running a home and such as that. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Not around playing games and just goofing off and doing nothing, but always seeking that next thing that can be done. always seeking that next thing. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. She's taken care of them, hadn't she? And not only has she taken care of them, but she's taught them the same to do for themselves. That in time for them to grow up too. And to grow up, and if she has daughters, direct them in that way. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. No hurt from her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And again, I think this example is given here in the Scripture to make it clear and to be helpful, ladies, to understand about being a wife. To understand that, because we, as men, we have the example of Christ and being a man. We have the example of God. We have the example of other men in the Scriptures and the Scriptures that tell us about that. But there needed to be a passage. I think the Lord's provided this passage to give an example and a target and an understanding about how to do that. Is it any less to us men? No. Men, how well do you meet up to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not the way I want to. Not the way I want to. So ladies, if you feel like you fall short of this gal, well, ask the Lord to help you. We fellas have to do the same thing. Okay? Because I don't meet up to what Christ is. I want to. And we need to pursue it. We need to pursue it. And know there's a blessing in it. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Listen. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is empty. But a woman that feareth the Lord, virtuous, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I can't help but think, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says we need to do all for the glory of God. In Colossians chapter 3, it says we need to do everything that we do heartily is unto the Lord. Right? See, that's it. We do what we do unto the Lord. Whether it's working, whether it's playing. Yeah, even playing. Play. If we're playing in something and messing in something that's not righteous, then let it be. Get away from it. But the enjoyment that the Lord gives us, we do that heartily to the Lord. If there's nothing evil or wicked about it, praise God in it. He's given us the provision and the liberty to do so. If it's wicked, then stay away from it in the first place, right? But enjoy the blessing and way of the Lord. Do it heartily unto the Lord. Do all for the glory of God. You know, favor is estimated in many different ways in different cultures. But this favor here, this deceitful, this is what is honored among mankind, but not the Lord. The Lord's looking on the inner man. And so, this virtue, this power, this strength that's here, and the way the Scriptures are laid out, I want to, in the coming messages, I want to talk about this power that a woman has, and so that we just might understand what it is and see what the Lord says about it and why it's that way. God is not against women. He's not. And if you're here and saved, He saved you and He loves you. You're His child. But there is a power that's there that ladies, you need to understand about, and our daughters need to understand about too. There's this song here, and I don't know if you know about this man, Paul Overstreet, but he and another fella wrote this song, and it's and the name of it's Homemaker, okay? And I want to just read a couple lines here from this song. I've got the whole thing here if you'd like to read it. But this is what I'm talking about. And this is in the chorus of the song. She wants to be a homemaker. It's her dream to raise the family and give her love to just one man. And I thank God it's me. Listen, I'll never underestimate her because she could take this world and turn it on. Power, strength, ability misused. But she takes her love and makes our house a home. that kind of speaks to that. The Lord has blessed the feminine gender with a power, with a strength, and an ability.